Media Court of Appeals is now in session. The Honorable Daniel R. Foley, Alexa E. M. Fujise, and Catherine G. Leonard presiding. Please be seated. Case number 29597, CompUSA Stores v. State of Hawaii, Department of Taxation. Ray Kamikawi for appellant, Damian Elefante for appellee. Argument on the merits.
Okay. Counsel?
Thank you and good morning, Judge Foley, Judge Leonard, Judge Fujise.
To lay the proper foundation for argument, we thought it would be helpful for the court to direct its attention to this chart, which depicts two transactions. The first line being the transaction that we find in the Baker and Taylor opinion, and the second transaction relating to CompUSA, the taxpayer appellant. In this particular case. In the Baker and Taylor case, we have the wholesaler of books that was stipulated by the parties that was licensed under the general excise tax. But in this case, rather than acting as a wholesaler, Baker and Taylor sold books to the Hawaii Public Library System as a retailer because the library was the end user. This was a retail transaction. Baker, not the library system, arranged for the shipment of books to the library free on board Hawaii, so title passed in Hawaii, and paid for the shipment of these books to the library system. Although a point of contention, we assume from these facts that as a wholesaler or retailer, Baker and Taylor obtained these books from another wholesaler or publisher. The Baker and Taylor court in this case held under these facts that based on the plain reading of the use tax statutes, Baker was not liable for the wholesale 0.5% use tax because under these facts, Baker could not be its own importer. It purchased the books from itself. It sold the books directly to the library as its own supplier and did not import, therefore, the books from an unlicensed seller. The same result should apply to CompUSA. We have a CompUSA situation. Before it went out of business, a retail seller of computers and related goods, CompUSA was licensed under the general excise tax laws. It sold these goods to retail customers in Hawaii through two local stores. The local stores were not separately it arranged for the shipment of these goods to the Hawaii stores, either from docks in California, in which case it was shipped free on board point of sale in California. So it took title to these books in California. Or it directed the manufacturers to ship the product directly to its own retail stores, not to its retail buyers. Shipped it directly to its retail stores.
Mr. Kamikawa, I do have a question about the difference between the cross-dock shipping and the drop shipping. Because with the cross-drop shipping, clearly CompUSA had both possession and title, possession through its agent on the mainland. But with drop shipping, it came all the way here, and CompUSA opened the box, saw if everything was okay. If it was damaged in shipping, they sent it back, and it was the seller's problem. So with the drop shipping, I have a harder time factually distinguishing that from any other store that in Hawaii, whether it's Hawaii-owned or Texas-owned or California-owned, that gets goods from a mainland seller.
Thank you, Your Honor. In the drop shipment for CompUSA, we have facts similar to Baker and Taylor, because what happened in the drop shipment is that the manufacturer or supplier delivered the goods directly to CompUSA's Hawaii retail stores, again, free onboard POS, point of shipment. Upon delivery, Your Honor is correct, CompUSA had the right at its retail stores located in Hawaii to inspect and reject. However, that should not make a difference to this court, because that is exactly what happened in Baker and Taylor, except that in Baker and Taylor, this party stipulated that the books were owned by the customer at the point of sale, FOB Hawaii. The only difference being in this case that we still had the right to inspect and reject, but that is exactly the right that was given to the library system in Baker and Taylor, and it made no difference to the court whether it involved the 4% general excise tax, which was the primary portion of the court's opinion, or the 0.5% use tax. And I question whether how much emphasis the court put on that ownership or FOB stipulation. In other portions of the Supreme Court's opinion, it only referenced Baker's argument that it shipped the goods FOB Hawaii. It did not base its conclusion or reasoning on that fact. It related the taxpayer's argument, it related the government's argument, and then launched into its reasoning. And in fact, in other portions of its opinion, it related to Baker using common carriers to deliver its goods. In addition to that, Baker paid for the shipment, it arranged for the shipment, which seems to be inconsistent with a situation where the library presumably owns the books. If you own the books, it seems to me you would make your own arrangements for shipping, paying for your own shipping. So in this case, we view CompUSA's situation as paralleling the situation in the Baker court and deserving of the same holding that Baker and Taylor, the Baker and Taylor court held for the taxpayer in that case. Under both circumstances, the court's reasoning would result in the same conclusion that you cannot be your own importer under its interpretation of the use tax law pre-2004. Indeed, when the court considered that Baker did not import the books from an unlicensed seller, that speaks directly to CompUSA's situation. When it shipped books already purchased and owned outside of Hawaii to itself, its own retail stores in Hawaii. This is analogous to the words of the Supreme Court in Baker, that Baker itself was the supplier. So what we have here is a single transaction, in the words of the court. It is a direct sale from Baker and Taylor to the library, the same as CompUSA importing for itself prior to the direct sale to the retail buyer. This is a single transaction. It is not two transactions, which may confuse the situation because it's a technical point. A two-transaction situation is the Habilitat case.
Counsel, could you? Going to Baker and Taylor near the end, it says, the sale of books was directly from Baker to the library. And then the next sentence, it says, furthermore, Baker did not purchase the books and resell the goods to the library. What is that? What's the importance of that furthermore?
Thank you, Your Honor. That goes to what I believe to be the court's view that we have a single transaction. We are ignoring what happened before, who owned the books before. The parties here in both cases have shipped the goods for purposes of sale at retail. There was no transaction from an unlicensed taxpayer in the Baker and Taylor
but
course.
But Baker, in fact, did purchase the books in the mainland, right, at one time?
That is correct, Your Honor.
With the intent to sell it to the library.
That is what we believe.
But it's not within the jurisdiction of the legislature, I assume, to tax that transaction in the mainland.
Well, no, not unless you have nexus in Hawaii. And I believe the Supreme Court has already spoken as to how you interpret pre-2004 use tax statutes. And that is, under that situation, even though there is a sale that takes place on the mainland to supply these products to either Baker & Taylor or CompUSA, that is something that is not captured within the use tax statute as interpreted by the Hawaii Supreme Court. In fact, this is the same argument that the government used in the Baker & Taylor case. How far that analysis did not work, because I believe the court will then need to go into an analysis of how far back do you go in the chain of custody of these goods. Do you go here to the wholesaler, then the publisher? Are you making believe that Baker and Taylor never obtained this from somebody else? That should not be the ruling in this case. In addition to that, the government could not have thought that it was so easy of resolution against CompUSA, because when it drafted what became Act 114, after the Supreme Court decided Baker and Taylor in January of 2004, the director went up to the legislature to get amendments made to made, I believe, seven amendments to the use tax law. And in the purpose clause, which was drafted by the director, the purpose clause includes this: one of the purposes of the law, in light of Baker and Taylor and Hawaii Administrative Rules 18-237-13-02.01, the general excise tax rules, was for, quote, restoring the imposition of taxes on goods purchased both within and outside of the state. Both within and outside of the state. So obviously, the director felt that there was a huge hole or weakness in the pre-2004 use tax statutes. Although we agree with the Baker and Taylor court that this court can reach the same result based on the plain terms of the statute, if there is any ambiguity found by this court in the statute, the court is reminded that this is a statute of imposition. And for statutes of imposition, they are to be construed strictly against the government and for the taxpayer. This is the seminal cases of Hawaiian Telephone, Medical Underwriters, Hawaiian Pineapple, cited in our memo of opposition and reply memo in the lower court. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. I'm Deputy Attorney General Damian Elifante on behalf of the Department of Taxation. I'd like to begin by looking at the plain language of the statute, 238-22A. Basically, the statute says there imposes a use tax at 0.5% on the value of goods on a licensed retailer in Hawaii that purchases goods from an unlicensed seller outside Hawaii and bring these goods for purposes of resale in Hawaii. That's the main purpose of the use tax. And this is from the beginning, from 1965, where the legislature had indicated that they wanted to tax the value of goods purchased directly from unlicensed sellers and brought into the state for resale. So based on that premise, you have to understand that in this situation, with respect to the taxpayer, what they did was they purchased goods from an unlicensed seller in Hawaii, or unlicensed seller outside Hawaii, which is basically your Apple's, HP, and brought these goods into Hawaii for purposes of resale. Their only argument is that under the factual circumstances in Baker and Taylor, it's similar to in their case, so therefore they're not subject to the use tax.
Isn't that exactly what Baker and Taylor did?
No, Your Honor. The Baker and Taylor analysis, if you look at it, starts with the use tax, and they have the basic premise of the use tax. what happens was the facts in Baker and Taylor did not fit the elements needed for the use tax imposition. Now, I've already talked with the counsel, so I'm going to mark up his board. If you look at it on, I guess, page 16 of the opinion, it starts off, it said the sale of books was directly from Baker to the library. So what the court was actually focusing on was basically this transaction. That's the transaction that they were focused in on. And then it says, furthermore, Baker did not purchase the books and resell the goods to the library. What happens is, this is not part of the factual circumstances in Baker. The court did not have a purchaser or a wholesaler to Baker and Taylor before they sold it to the library.
But counsel, aren't you skipping a sentence here? It says the sale of books was from directly from Baker to the library. Therefore, Baker did not import the books from an unlicensed seller. Isn't that what CompUSA is arguing here?
Well, before we go into CompUSA's situation, if we're going to use the therefore sentence, therefore Baker did not import books from an unlicensed seller, the first thing that the purchaser in this case, if they exist, is an unlicensed seller. The court did not find that there was an unlicensed seller in this situation.
Right, but we understand that Baker and Taylor didn't print books, right?
Nothing in the factual circumstances that was presented in Baker and Taylor indicated that they manufactured or bought these particular books. There was no factual circumstances. You can look in the opinion as well as the stipulation of facts. All you know is that Baker and Taylor sold books, and in this particular case, sold books to the library. That's all we have, and that's the only factual situation that was presented before the Supreme Court. There was no unlicensed seller. The court did not know or even indicate that they knew about this unlicensed seller. If they did, they would have written it in their opinion.
So are you basing your position that Baker and Taylor published its own books? Is that your position?
Based on the opinion, you can make that assumption, yes. Because the opinion is not clear that they either bought or sold these particular books from an unlicensed seller. And finally, they arrive to that particular situation where they can't import books to themselves for purposes of being imposed the use tax. So if we use the analysis of Baker and Taylor and apply it to the situation of CompUSA, the factual circumstances are clear.
Now, with CompUSA, didn't title pass from the manufacturer to CompUSA in the mainland?
For purposes of the use tax law, title is not really relevant.
But I'm just asking that question. Isn't that the case that CompUSA acquired title to the products in the mainland before they were shipped?
Yes, with respect to the cost stop and the drop shipping, it's a little bit different than when they got title. So cost stop, they had it.
Okay, well, I'd like you to elaborate on that point.
Well, from my understanding of the factual circumstances in this particular case with respect to the cost stop, what the facts indicate is that CompUSA basically directed their manufacturers or producers to use their shipping lines to get the products into Hawaii. That's my understanding of the cost stop situation.
Right. And now let me say it just a little differently, and you can correct me if you would, counsel. CompUSA bought goods on the mainland and took delivery at the CompUSA's distribution center through an agent. CompUSA possessed it through their agent and took title and repackaged Apple and Hewlett-Packard, whoever they were, and then sent that package to themselves in Hawaii. That's the cross-dock shipping.
I do believe that's the cross-dock situation.
And then maybe you can distinguish the drop ship from that situation.
I guess they requested particular manufacturers to drop the particular shipment into their Hawaii stores. And at that point in time, they examine or look at those particular products.
Right, and CompUSA is arguing that nevertheless, they were the owners and took title because it was free on board point of shipping. And you seem to indicate that there was a difference, and that's what I'm asking you to elaborate on.
Well, at that point, the way you put it, Your Honor, I think it's the same thing when they establish ownership. whether or not it was in Hawaii or on the mainland. But for purposes of the use tax law, we're not focusing on title. If you are focusing on title, the Habilitat case that's explained also in Baker and Taylor is applicable in that they directed third party or unlicensed sellers to bring their books into or put their goods into Hawaii. Therefore, they're still subject to the use tax.
But in that, in Habilitat, my understanding, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, is Habilitat was sort of just an arranger. They never took possession of the goods at any point. It was directly from an unlicensed seller to a customer.
But under that case, the possession and control was pertinent in determining whether or not they were subject to the use tax. And in this case, subject of possession and control was relevant or is pertinent in this case. Because what we're looking at is this, and I'm going back to the board, is this particular transaction for obviously purchase goods from one licensed seller for purposes of bringing it into Hawaii to resell. So, I mean, that's the whole transaction that we're looking at is obviously purchasing from one licensed seller for purposes of resell in Hawaii. They bring these goods into Hawaii for purposes of resell. Baker and Taylor never, the facts in Baker and Taylor never indicated that there was a resale.
I think those facts, though, counsel, are implicit. I just can't read Baker and Taylor to distinguish that Baker and Taylor was not buying books from a publisher for resale. I just can't read it that way.
When you make that interpretation, you're taking facts that were not even presented to the Supreme Court. And I think that's the wrong assumption. I think when an opinion is written by a court, all the facts that they use or will consider has to be an opinion. In Baker and Taylor, this was never presented. So, and their conclusion indicated that there was no license seller.
But did the opinion say that Baker and Taylor was publishing the books? And then
it didn't even indicate
whether you're telling us to accept that.
Well, it didn't even indicate that they did not purchase from books.
Well, but what the court does say is that Baker did not import the books from an unlicensed seller, and I think you could almost read that to say they imported it from themselves, is that they were the ones that were sending it, so they were sending it from a licensed seller, i.e. Baker and Taylor.
At that point, licensed sellers have to be licensed in the state, and when it means a licensed seller, and I using your assumption, if there was a licensed seller, then you have to also assume that this particular entity has presence in the state, and this particular transaction occurred within the state of Hawaii, and they're subject to the general excise tax of 0.5%.
So this whole case turns on whether CompUSA's situation is distinguishable from Baker and Taylor.
Yes,
that's
Your
the
Honor.
Whole case.
Yes, Your Honor. And that's why when we're going over the facts in Baker and Taylor, we can't make any assumptions.
Look at the statute itself.
And you have to look at the statute itself. So under the plain language of the statute, if you look at the plain language of the statute, this clearly indicates that.
Well, it's in the plain language of the statute. The legislature saw this big loophole that Baker and Taylor got through and that CompUSA was getting through and closed it. Isn't that what happened?
No, Your Honor. You could make that particular assumption with respect to the legislature, but it's because of the fact that the factual circumstances in Baker and Taylor did not indicate that they were subject to the use tax. And I think that they were addressing that particular situation, that factual situation, where there was no unlicensed seller in this particular case. So in going back to the plain language of statute, if there's an unlicensed seller and you have a licensed retailer like CompUSA in this case that buys from an unlicensed seller to bring it into the state for purposes of resale, there's no doubt that they're subject to the use tax under the plain language of the statute. I think given the plain language of the statute and the ambiguous nature of Baker and Taylor, the court has to enforce the plain language of the statute at this point. So I guess I'll just conclude at this point saying that the plain language in this particular situation where CompUSA purchased goods from an unlicensed seller outside Hawaii and bring these particular goods into Hawaii for purposes of
counsel.
Thank you.
Rebuttal.
Besides taking liberties with my chart, counsel has taken liberties with selecting the perspective of the transactions of Baker and Taylor, focusing on the Baker and Taylor library portion of the chart. And then when he moves to CompUSA's portion of the chart, he chooses to focus on manufacturers and CompUSA. According to Baker and Taylor, let's face it, focus on the right-hand side of the chart. Didn't matter to the court what happened here. When the court mentions unlicensed from an unlicensed taxpayer, it is making a legal conclusion. It is making a legal conclusion that under the statute, under these facts, Baker and Taylor did not import from an unlicensed seller. It imported from itself, and it was licensed. The city was CompUSA. As far as the findings of fact, we live in the real world, fortunately. We cannot make believe that somehow, of course, don't know that a wholesaler, and in footnote 7 of the Baker and Taylor opinion, the Baker and Taylor court specifically referenced the stipulation of facts between the parties. And the stipulation of facts, paragraph number 4, states that Baker and Taylor is one of the largest wholesalers of books in the world, with annual sales of over 50 million units worldwide. Stipulation goes on for 20 pages. You would think that if Baker and Taylor were also the publisher, it would make mention of that. And one point on Habilitat and the two transaction scenario there, it was clear in Habilitat that the issue, and I'm reading from the court's opinion, the issue relative to the use tax law is whether Habilitat engaged in taxable transactions when it ordered items of personal property from out-of-state suppliers for direct delivery to persons in Hawaii. And there they are referring to persons who ordered the product, the retail customer. Whether Habilitat's ordering of items from out-of-state suppliers for direct delivery to persons in Hawaii were transactions subject to Chapter 238. And the facts of Habilitat show that it is not the facts of Baker and Taylor or Company State. Rather, it is the situation where Baker and Taylor or Company State or equivalent taxpayers would find the retail buyer first, the salesperson would lodge the sales order with CompUSA or Baker and Taylor. CompUSA or Baker and Taylor would then instruct the manufacturers or publisher to direct ship to the retail buyer.
That is a two-transaction situation which is not found in either CompUSA or Baker and Taylor. It is the Baker and Taylor's court's opinion that that is the result in the CompUSA and Baker and Taylor case, no matter how much the government argues. I believe that the one-party transaction in Hawaii pre-2004 was rendered ineffective under the use tax law for Chapter 238 wholesale use tax purposes. It retained the validity of a two-transaction, three-party situation found in Habilitat, but not the two-party, single-transaction situation that we have before us today. Thank you.
Counselor, no questions? Thank you, Counsel. Take the matter under advisement.